Hello and welcome into this Monday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Mark Congleton sitting here at the microphone. I'm your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and often a touch of absurdity. Hoping you're having a great day so far, whenever and wherever you may be listening. And that you aren't suffering from stir craziness as many of us are. It is the Monday edition of the podcast. It is Monday, the 27th day of April, 2020. The month is almost behind us. We're almost in the month of May. Where has the year gone? 4 months already out of the way. And the past month has been spent pretty much staring at our toes at home, unless you are considered essential and you're out there working somewhere. And some people are, which is a good thing. Don't get me wrong. It's a good thing. And for example, my wife, and I've shared this before, my wife works for a company. She works for an automotive sales establishment where she is a cashier in the parts and service department. So people getting their cars fixed, that's essential. And so she goes in and she works every day. And it's good for her. It's good for us. So, hey. And it's good for the people who need to have her help, even though there may be just like two of them in a day, because things have been really slow. It is, as I said, the Monday edition of the podcast, and the weekend, as these weekends tend to be here recently, was rather uneventful. I did a little bit of video editing, got arranged to have the yard mode. What do you mean, Mark? Why'd you have what do you mean arranged to have the yard mode? Well, And if you haven't been paying attention, I'll tell you, my mower is on the fritz, and I can't use it. It starts, it runs, the blade engages, everything except for the wheels work. It just won't go anywhere. And the push mower that I still have was a parts mower. I've been scavenging off of it off and on for several years to keep another mower going, which I gave. You know, I said last week or maybe the week before, I said I gave it to my buddy Mike. I didn't. I gave it to my buddy Dave, my radio partner, who needed a lawnmower. And at that point, I really wasn't using that one anymore. And I said, hey, let's have some lunch. I'll meet you for lunch and bring the lawnmower. You can have it. And so now Dave is mowing his grass with my former lawnmower. And I'm paying people to come mow mine. So that's pretty much what happened. That was yesterday. And wow. Just wow. But at least now Princess Kimber can go out to the front yard and do her business without getting lost in the tall grass, which is the way things had been up until yesterday. But Mark, don't you have a weed eater? Yes, I do have a weed eater. I do. And I would honestly, I prefer just to pay my nephew Matt and let him make a few bucks and get it done with a mower so it looks right, instead of, you know, that kind of ragged look you get if you try to cut your grass with a weed eater. It just doesn't look right. I just didn't want that. So it was, you know, hey, he makes a few dollars. We get a cut front lawn, and for at least a few weeks, we're in good shape. Okay. All right. But that was pretty much it for the weekend, aside from, let's see, yesterday tearing the monster computer down, the beast. when I finally post a picture of this thing next to something that you can recognize the size of, and you remember I called it the beast, you're going to shake your head because this thing is really small. It's so small. Anyway, I got it torn down. I got the video card, the GPU out of it, which involved taking the CPU and the memory out of it, as well as unplugging everything that was plugged in anywhere near the GPU. And I know I'm boring some of you folks who aren't into tech, but that's the way things went for me yesterday. So now the GPU is boxed up, ready to drop off at UPS when the new one comes in. And that's supposed to be today, according to UPS's tracking, by the end of the day today. And UPS runs usually in the morning hours where I live. So hopefully before lunch, I'll have the new GPU in, have it stuck in the computer, and be on my way to reformatting everything and setting it up the way I need it to be. Hopefully. Fingers crossed. So we've had a lot of things happen over the weekend, a lot of odd things, absurd things, crazy things, and things typical for politics in the world today. And when I say politics in the world today, I mean progressive politics in the world today, because the progressives are so disconnected from reality that they believe that certain things have to be true just because they say these things are true. It's that old thing about if you keep telling the same lie, you know, then eventually people believe it, which people attribute to Adolf Hitler talking about lying to the people when actually it was Adolf Hitler. Don't get me wrong. He did say that. If you tell the same lie long enough, people believe it's the truth. He did say that, but he wasn't talking about his propaganda or his his socialist efforts to reform the entire world. He was a socialist. He was talking about Israel, and he was lying about Israel because Israel was telling the truth about him. Just go look it up. You'll find out for yourself. But at any rate, these people, the progressives, keep telling lies, and they double down on the lies. And they're about to double down on another investigation and impeachment effort against President Trump because they believe he's weak now because of what's happening with the coronavirus. They believe that the only thing he had to run on, the strength of the economy, has been sufficiently weakened, has been sufficiently kneecapped, so that now he doesn't have anything to run on, and they can defeat him. Well, actually, they don't believe they can defeat him. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing this. They would just let Joe Biden whip him in November, and they know Joe Biden can't. They actually also know that no matter who they put up, it doesn't matter who is there, they can't win. Because at this point, they have proven to the nation that they are incompetent liars. And enough people have been swayed that they're not going to win in the election in any way, shape, or form. So now, even though I realize that's not what everybody's saying, you see polls every day. I know this. I know you see those little pop-up headlines. It's a Fox News poll. Biden 9 points ahead of Bush in this state or that, or not Bush, of Trump in this state or that state. You see these all the time. Please remember when you see these polling stats, polling is not intended to reflect reality. It's not intended to reflect opinion, to reveal opinion. It's intended, its purpose is to shape opinion. So pollsters are employed by certain groups to go out and do polling in order to sway people into believing that a certain thing is true, which may not in the least be true. And this happens all the time in politics. It's a constant thing in politics. Remember 2016, if you will, all the way up to Election Day. Hillary Clinton was a lock for president. There was no chance anywhere, hot or cold, that Donald Trump was going to be the president of the United States. Pundit after pundit, late night talk show host after late night talk show host, we're saying, now there's no way Trump is going to be, Donald Trump is not going to be president of the United States. Remember? You remember all those people saying that? Do you remember the polls saying that Hillary Clinton had an 80 to 90% lock on the presidency and that it was just a foregone conclusion? Do you remember that? I'm sure you do if you've been paying attention. And you also probably, hopefully, unless you have over the past few years turned from the way you used to see things, and now you are seeing things more truthfully, you probably remember watching social media and seeing all of the photos of Trump rallies and thousands of people at Trump rallies and comparing those photos to the pictures you were seeing of Hillary Clinton's gatherings, where you saw a few dozen heads in the lower part of the frame with her on a stage. And then you started seeing pictures from the back of the room from people's cell phones. And the truth became known that there were merely hundreds, if that many, showing up to see Hillary Clinton when there were thousands showing up to see Donald Trump. And you knew at that point, like many of us did, that the polls were lying. The pundits were lying. The politicians were lying. And the major news outlets were all lying to us. And that on election night, you were actually not all that surprised when Donald Trump came out ahead. It was close, and it would have been, well, were it not for shenanigans which were going on, it would have not been so close. But the Democrats, the progressives in politics and in the media were all convinced that Hillary Clinton was going to be the president. The polling said so. All of the data said so. Everything they were seeing said so. And yet they were wrong. I also believe that the Democrat politicians were so confident because they believed they had rigged everything so effectively that there was no way their candidate could have lost. And thank God for the Electoral College. The Electoral College rescued the United States of America and saved it from what would have been 8 years of the completion of the destruction begun by Barack Obama.
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
He spent 8 years fundamentally transforming things illegally, lawlessly, doing things that we're finding out now, we're uncovering due to the work of the Attorney General and his appointees, we're discovering now item after item where he just ignored the law, disobeyed the Constitution, and did whatever he wanted to do, including helping to fund a certain biogenics lab in Wuhan, China. That was just one of many things. Millions upon millions of dollars sent to Iran, which has since then, with the help of the Obama administration's funding, developed a space program and has recently launched a satellite into space. It wasn't successful. It's basically just a webcam that's tumbling over and over again in orbit, so it's not really doing anything and can't really do anything, but they managed to launch a satellite. And if they can launch a satellite, they can launch other things. And we also know that with that money, they've been working on nuclear weapons. And those are just a couple of examples of things that the Obama administration did, which are having to be undone. And if Hillary Clinton had been elected, things would be getting even worse. When Trump was elected, remember, we had been told we have a new normal, that these industries are not coming back, that the economy is not coming back to what it used to be. This is the new normal. It's time to adjust and develop new ways to move forward. And then Donald Trump came into office and revealed the truth, that that was a lie, and that government just had to get out of the way so business could perform. And now things are turning back around again. All of that just basically to say this, that we have a president today who is doing things for America which conservative people, thinking individuals, have always known could be done. It just took getting these self-proclaimed experts out of the way. These people who tell us they know this is the way things should be, and every time they enact what they say should be, it doesn't work. Those are progressive people. People who live and govern by theory. Who have all of the intelligentsia around them saying, yes, well, we believe this is the way things should be, and this is how the world should work, and this is how you should govern, and this is what this nation should look like, and this is how we could all become one world and live in peace together. And they're always wrong. Because these people don't have a real connection with real life. And today we have a president who actually has a real connection with real life.
Oh, Mark, he's a billionaire. He doesn't know what it's really...
Seriously, come on. Lose that. And remember this. He may be incredibly wealthy, but he got there by operating within a system that can make people wealthy. Not a system that punishes people for being wealthy. Because he knows that if he's wealthy, other people can be. And because he's wealthy, other people have jobs and can move up and be wealthy too. That's real life, not the lie of progressivism. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective Podcast. This Monday, April 27th, 2020. It is a beautiful day in my neighborhood. I hope things are well where you are. It is one of those cool spring days where the temperature is not going to get up very high. It's going to be in the low 70s, I think. It's going to be a nice, pretty, sunny day today. A perfect day to get outside and do... Oh, I'm sorry. That's just wrong, isn't it? And we just can't do that in so many places in America because, quite frankly, there's so many little tyrants all over America today who are preventing people from living their lives. And it's been crazy. Have you been watching the news and seeing how crazy this is? The in some places where you can get handcuffed just for sitting on a lawn chair somewhere in a park, it's just crazy. It's just crazy. People who actually are social distancing, people who actually are doing what they've been told to do, but crossing one tiny line, and police, because they're ordered by local governments, these tiny tyrants, they're just doing their jobs, the police are, God love them, in a bad situation, and people are becoming victims. This is what happens when tyrants are in charge. Law-abiding, normal, law-abiding, conscientious citizens are turned into criminals because regulations are passed which make normal activity illegal. Oh, but Mark, we're protecting ourselves from... Oh, please give it a rest. There's increasing evidence that we actually have flattened the curve, so to speak, that we are over the hump, and that, honestly, we've gone way overboard in dealing with what's happened. Way overboard. All right, into the news. Senator Lindsey Graham over the weekend, Saturday, said he wouldn't be shocked at all if the North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un isn't actually dead or medically incapacitated. He said he would be shocked if that was the situation, if he was not dead or medically incapacitated. He was on Fox News, said he didn't have direct knowledge about Kim's situation, but rumors about his health are probably more truth than fiction. He said, well, it's a closed society. I don't know anything directly, but I'd be shocked if he's not dead or in some incapacitated state, because you don't let rumors like this go forever or go unanswered in a closed society, which is really a cult, not a country, called North Korea. So I pretty well believe he is dead or incapacitated, and I hope the long-suffering North Korean people will get some relief if he's dead. And President Trump's willing to do business with North Korea in a win-win fashion. So if this guy's dead, I hope the next person who takes over will work with the president to make North Korea a better place for everybody. Just a reminder, Graham chairs the Senate Judiciary Committee, sits on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Japanese media has reported that Kim was left in a vegetative state following complications during recent surgery. According to that report, Kim underwent surgery after suddenly collapsing during a visit to parts of rural North Korea. The development followed a CNN report last week that indicated Kim's health was in grave danger. The South Korean government pushed back against those claims, and top U.S. military personnel said they had no reason to believe Kim was not in control of North Korea. Kim hasn't been seen publicly for weeks now. He missed celebrating a major North Korean holiday over the weekend. So there's a lot of speculation about what's happening with the dictator, the tyrant in control over North Korea, Kim Jong-un. And my suspicions, my gut tells me he's dead. And my gut also tells me that it probably wasn't from natural causes. Because from what I have read, which is outside the circle of the mainstream progressive press, from what I've read, the indications were that Kim Jong-un was not Kim Jong-il, his father, and that he did not see things the same way, that he actually did want to develop relations with North America, that he did want to start tearing down the figurative walls which separate North and South Korea so that they could have a relationship. He did want to start making things different. And that the hardliners in the military, who were the people who put down the crushing boot on the people of North Korea under his father's and grandfather's reign, didn't like the fact that Kim Jong-un wanted to change things. This is what I've read. Am I right? I don't know. But I suspect that Kim Jong-un has probably been assassinated. And that the surgery, the developments that we're hearing about right now are a cover story. That's what I think. That's just me. As my friend Dave would say, I'm just spitballing here. But that's what I think. There's a lot of talk about the possibility of his sister becoming the next grand poobah of North Korea. In their society, women usually don't take leadership roles. He has brothers. We'll have to see how that pans out. But by all indications, his sister is even more twisted than they say he was. And that she has been responsible, personally, for some very grisly things which have happened in North Korea. As I say, we'll have to see how this pans out. It is indeed an interesting story. Oh, something else is interesting. Just suppose, mind you, let's put on our what-if hats for just a moment. And suppose you had a vacation planned, a two-week getaway, the vacation of your dreams to beautiful Hawaii. Ah, 2 weeks of sun and sand, local cuisine, laid back, no worries, just relaxing and enjoying the island life. And you got there and were told at the airport that you have to stay in your hotel room and you can't go out anywhere and you can't do anything for 14 days. Your entire vacation. Hawaii has zero patience for tourists who don't obey their coronavirus rules, because that's what's happening. Globetrotters who don't heed their quarantine rules actually get shipped off the Pacific island. They're so serious about removing misbehaving guests that the state of Hawaii will even pay to fly them off the islands. Travelers visiting Hawaii must quarantine for 2 weeks once they arrive. An order that was made effective on March 26 by Governor David Ige. If visitors are caught not in lockdown during the state-mandated quarantine, Hawaii will send them packing. Before the coronavirus pandemic, the Hawaiian Tourism Authority had a main objective of enticing travelers to the islands in the middle of the Pacific Island. in the middle of the Pacific, that is. Now, after a COVID-19 outbreak, the Hawaiian Tourism Authority is diverting funds to pay for visitors to go back where they came from if they don't abide by the quarantine orders. Since the decision to ship out rule breakers on the 1st of April, the Hawaii Tourism Authority has set aside $25,000 to ensure that the state could deport travelers who refused to quarantine. Hawaii's health department said Thursday, so far, with $25,000 in funding from the Hawaii Tourism Authority, the Visitor Aloha Society of Hawaii, or VASH, has paid to send 19 people back to their airports of origin during the COVID-19 crisis. The ability to return people quickly to their airports of origin during the coronavirus greatly assists law enforcement's ability to ensure the success of our statewide emergency measures, so says Hawaii's Attorney General Claire Connors. She goes on to say, the fact scarce government funds do not need to be expended for these return trips also helps fulfill the mission of keeping Hawaii safe. A woman from L.A. was caught breaking the quarantine after she uploaded photos to her social media account. They sent her back to California. Two other travelers were caught disobeying the lockdown. They got a second chance. They tried to outwit the authorities by checking into a different hotel, but they tracked them down. They can monitor visitors because there's hardly anyone coming to the islands. Normally, 30,000 travelers arrive each day. 438 arrived on Thursday. Tourism is what keeps Hawaii alive. Guess how this is going to work out? Welcome back. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast for Monday, the 27th of April, 2020. Well, if you've gotten accustomed to watching those daily coronavirus briefings, well, no more, because the president has decided enough of this, because he's going into this place every day. He and the experts, he and the people who, you know, are kind of handling all this stuff are in there telling people the facts, telling them what's going on. And then what happens in response is a barrage of the dumbest questions. There's some intelligent questions. Sure there are. But then there's this onslaught of questions, hostile questions from people who are just trying to find anything and everything possibly wrong, who are coming in quoting sources which have questionable resources. It's just a bizarre experience, and he's finally had it. He announced Saturday, President Donald Trump announced Saturday, he would be canceling or at least limiting his daily coronavirus briefings after a week of brutal clashes with mainstream reporters, a dust-up with CNN, and an incident that saw members of the media wrongly portray a question asked by Trump himself as a suggestion that Americans should inject themselves with bleach or other disinfectants. How ludicrous. If you actually watched that exchange, if you actually watched what happened, and I did, he was just sort of spitballing, verbally walking through things he had been told, treatments that had been talked about in meetings and in sessions where they're telling him, this is the one thing we're looking at, this is another thing. There are people who are proposing this and that. And he's just sort of off the cuff, wandering through these things, doing the verbally walking his way through all of his stuff. And he's got people on the side saying, yeah, that's true. And he keeps talking about, of course, medical people will handle this. He's not talking about proposing any of this stuff. He's just saying this has been, immediately there was this backlash. Ultraviolet light, is he crazy? Well, actually, UV light's been used for a long, long time in treatment. Actually, UV light, sunlight, has been used to relieve the onslaught of many different kinds of disease. In fact, there was a time, well, this is years ago, when people who were in convalescent homes, they told them, you need to take your patients outside. They need to be outside for a certain amount of time every day in the sunlight. Why? Because sunlight is helpful. UV light, even though we've been conditioned to believe it's bad for you, skin cancer and all of that, UV light in the proper dosages is helpful. And there is actually treatment. There are procedures being developed right now in which UV light emitters are inserted into the areas of the body where there is infection in order for that particular treatment to work internally. That's actually a thing. It's real. In fact, YouTube and Facebook, because they're anti-truth and anti-Trump, censored posts about that and videos of the developments over the weekend. It's a real thing that's really happening. And as far as antiseptics and things like that, there are certain chemicals which are in the drugs that we take every day that are also used in cleaning in tiny, tiny amounts. I posted something on Facebook about it over the weekend. Something you should go look up. Go to the Daily Perspective Facebook page and have a look. It's there. So in a tweet Saturday night, Trump lashed out at members of the media who he claims have rendered the daily briefings pointless with their confrontational attitudes. He tweeted, "What is the purpose of having White House news conferences when the lamestream media ask nothing but hostile questions and then refuses to report the truth or facts accurately? They get record ratings and the American people get nothing but fake news. Not worth the time and effort." Friday was Trump's shortest presser of the coronavirus pandemic, a mere 25-minute briefing with no questions. No question and answer period. The president clearly cut the briefing short after finding himself under a deluge of criticism for allegedly suggesting that Americans inject themselves with bleach or other chemical disinfectants to fight the virus, a suggestion that was either a question about complex UV and disinfectant treatments on which the president had been counseled, or a sarcastic remark to a reporter, as he later claimed. Either way, the suggestion, which went viral, caused a media frenzy, with outlets reporting on an increase of calls to poison control, which was apparently unrelated and part of a long-term trend completely unrelated to the president, and issuing dire warnings against drinking Clorox. Yeah, did you see that? I think it was Joe Biden actually posted on Twitter, "Please, people, don't drink Clorox." Nobody has suggested it. The president never suggested it. He never suggested that people do these things. He was talking about procedures which his medical advisors had been telling him about, which were wildly misinterpreted by members of the press looking for anything and everything they can use against the president. The incident clearly troubled Trump, who called time on the press conferences after consulting with three or four White House officials who pressed Trump to either shorten or end the briefings altogether. Another source close to the deliberations says they told him he's overexposed. These appearances are part of the reason polls aren't looking good for him right now against Joe Biden. Another source close to the deliberations said there's simply isn't enough new material to justify Trump appearing before the press every day. So, he has decided to pull the plug on the briefings because the press can't be trusted to tell the truth. But rather, they focus on what is eyebrow-raising and sensational. They focus on what causes people to gasp and clutch their pearls. They focus on the outrageous and the outlandish and ignore context in order to do so. It's just crazy. Dr. Birx, you know, the lady with all the scarves, you know, she hasn't worn the same scarf twice. I saw that the other day. Somebody's actually keeping track of it. She hasn't worn the same scarf twice. Well, Saturday, Dr. Deborah Birx of the White House Coronavirus Task Force appeared on Fox News with host Jesse Waters to discuss the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. And during the segment, Birx was asked about President Trump's remarks regarding the potential use of light and disinfectants as a means to treat COVID-19. Jesse Waters asked, "We heard from DHS, one of the scientists on Thursday, say that sunlight, increased temperature, humidity could have an effect on killing the virus in the air, on surfaces, and and the president's spitballing and he's asking questions, would it be possible to maybe target the virus through a cure using certain ingredients or using sunlight? You didn't believe the president was putting anybody in danger, did you? She replied, no, when he gets new information, he likes to talk that through out loud and really have that dialogue. And so that's what dialogue he was having. I think he just saw the information at the time immediately before the press conference, and he was still digesting that information. The president has always put health and safety first. I think you can see that in the way that he is supportive of slowing the spread of the spread guidelines. Knew the impact that that would have on the economy, and knew clearly what impact it would have on the economy. Yet he realized that the health and safety of Americans was his number one interest and responsibility, and that's what he did first and continues to do as we begin to open up. Well, following remarks on Thursday by Bill Bryan, Undersecretary for Science and Technology at the Department of Homeland Security, pertaining to the ways in which sunlight, isopropyl alcohol, and bleach appear to kill the virus on surfaces, the president approached the podium, looked over at Bryan, and said, quote, so I'm going to ask Bill a question that probably some of you are thinking of if you're totally into that world, which I find to be very interesting. So supposing when we hit the body with a tremendous, whether it's ultraviolet or just very powerful light, and I think you said that hasn't been checked, but you're going to test it. And then I said, supposing you brought that light inside the body, which you can do either through the skin or in some other way, and I think you said you're going to test that. Sounds interesting. And then I see the disinfectant where it knocks out in a minute, 1 minute. And is there a way we can do something like that by injection inside or almost cleaning? Because you see, it gets in the lungs and it does a tremendous number on the lungs. So I'd be interested to check that. So you're going to have to use medical doctors but it sounds interesting to me. So we'll see. But the whole concept of the light, the way it kills in 1 minute, it's pretty powerful. So those are his exact words. Okay. Those are his exact words. He wasn't saying this is what you should do. He's saying he thinks it's interesting what he's been told. And what he's been told about disinfectants, what he's been told about UV light. And as I told you before, there is actual research into inserting UV light emission tools into the body to see what effect it has on the virus. Now, some in media suggested the president's remarks could create a dangerous situation. A Washington Post headline reads, Trump's disinfectant remarks were tantamount to peddling death. A CNET headline reads, Trump recklessly suggests injecting disinfectant to kill coronavirus. No, he didn't. He didn't suggest it. He said they were talking about the possibility and that they were looking into things like that. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi even claimed during a press conference on Friday that Trump was asking people, quote, asking people to inject Lysol into their lungs, end quote. That is Nancy Pelosi. She's an evil woman because she knows that's not true. The president later claimed that he was being sarcastic, telling reporters on Friday, hey, I was asking a question sarcastically to reporters like you just to see what would happen. And I don't think that's what was going on. I think in that particular scenario where he was responding, he was poking at a reporter who actually had the stupidity to consider what was said there as something of a suggestion. Trump spoke at length about the effects of light and disinfectants that were previously mentioned, saying, but I'd like them now to look as it pertains to the human body, not just sitting on a railing or sitting on a wall. I'd like them to look at as it pertains, because maybe there's something there. I'm not a doctor. They have to work with the doctors, but maybe there is something to light and the human body and helping people that are dying. Jeff Mason of Reuters later asked Trump, honestly, I'm not making this up. He asked him, but just to clarify that, sir, you're not encouraging Americans to inject disinfectant? The president replied, no, of course not. Interior-wise, it was said sarcastically. It was put in the form of a question to a group of extraordinary hostile people, namely the fake news media. Well, I don't know that it was. I think it was more, honestly, I think he was just spitballing. But he's so sick of the way he's been treated by the media, the dishonesty, the disingenuousness, the searching, the constant searching for any misstep. I honestly think it's a good thing that he stopped. Because they're not interested in the truth. They're looking for something they can use against him. So why provide them with the opportunity to do so? Welcome back to the Daily Perspective Podcast. Thanks for being there. Good to have you along. Well, almost every president eventually confronts a full-blown national crisis. Jacob Bullion's over at the Western Journal writes, "Few have faced challenges as great as the one posed by the coronavirus pandemic. None have led the nation through times of trouble as effectively as President Trump. It was one thing for the businessman turned president to deliver on his promise to create a booming economy, secure genuinely fair trade deals with allies and rivals alike, and rebuild the U.S. military during times of normalcy. This president's success at leading the war against our nation's invisible enemy while simultaneously keeping other threats at bay, however, has thoroughly disproved the doubters who questioned whether someone with no prior political experience could cope with the stress of managing an unexpected emergency. I contend that our wartime president has consistently demonstrated the ability to foresee the range of possible outcomes from his decisions and act in the best interests of the United States. Time and time again, President Trump has been ahead of the curve, even in the midst of unbelievably biased scrutiny. He was ahead of the curve on securing our border, tackling the three-headed monster of drug smuggling, child trafficking, and illegal immigration. He was ahead of the curve when it came to clamping down on China's abusive trade policies. More recently, his travel restrictions on China at the start of the coronavirus outbreak saved countless American lives, even as those who initially criticized this decision have been forced to reluctantly admit. The contrast between our president and his predecessors is striking. President Obama's refusal to secure the southern border led to a massive increase in drug trafficking, putting American communities directly at risk. Inheriting that problem, President Trump launched a massive effort to stop illegal drugs from entering our country. And as his success has made it harder to bring drugs across the southern border by land, he's begun deploying warships to the Caribbean as countermeasures against seaborne smuggling operations. While Democrats continue to politicize the coronavirus pandemic for the sake of pushing their own political agenda and slamming the Trump administration, President Trump is laser-focused on saving American lives. While stopping the spread of the virus is certainly the top priority at this moment, the president has not forgotten about the hundreds of thousands of preventable American deaths that happen every year. Our commander-in-chief remains focused on the big picture, even as he directs the nation's war against the coronavirus, knowing that fighting opioid addictions, preventing the exploitation of women and children, and protecting American jobs will save lives just as surely as producing more ventilators and limiting the spread of the virus will. This is a leader who can lead on multiple battlefronts simultaneously, masterfully delegating responsibilities to world-class experts while swatting down a constant barrage of unwarranted attacks from his critics and rivals. This president eats a double-decker stress sandwich every morning with a smile, and somehow it seems to fill his heart with a renewed resolve to make this nation greater than ever before on behalf of all Americans. His reward from the unbelievably biased and vindictive mainstream media has been nothing but ridicule. Nonetheless, the unfair treatment that Donald Trump has been subjected to from the very beginning of his presidency has clearly prepared him for the challenge he's facing today. President Trump is facing a crisis greater than most presidents ever face, and he's handling it masterfully." Well said by Jacko Bullions over at the Western Journal. Well said. He eats a stress sandwich every morning. I imagine he does. Do you remember when he first announced that he was going to be running for president? You remember from that moment the ridicule began. You remember that the pundits, the Hollywood elite, They all came out laughing. That's insane. That's crazy. It'll never happen. Donald Trump will, Trump will never be the president. I remember an episode of Bill Maher's TV show where he had a panel of liberals and Ann Coulter. And she was asked, of those running today, who do you think will have the chance to become president of the United States? And she said, Donald Trump. The crowd exploded in laughter. The people on the panel laughed, some looking completely and totally confused. How could somebody say this? Something Ann Coulter saw that the rest of them didn't was that this is a guy who actually knew how to be successful and knew how to confront what was confronting America at the time. He was an outsider, not just another member of the club. And you see, people have come to the point in America today, people on the left, progressives, liberals, Democrats, all believe that the only people who can competently run a country are people from within their midst. Lifelong political activists. Lifelong politicians. They believe that they are the elite. That they are the brilliant ones who will lead us away from destruction. They believe that they alone have what it takes to lead and to govern. And that without that political experience, it can't be done. They believe that only people who have spent decades inside the system can effectively perform inside the system and run a nation. And we have seen, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that that is completely and totally untrue. We have seen, since Donald Trump was elected, that what the nation needs is a CEO. Someone who has operated in the real world successfully and knows how the business of doing business actually works. Not just the theory of doing business. Someone who can spot BS from 100 yards away. Because he's been BS'd so many times, he knows it when he sees it. Someone who's been in the business world long enough to have dealt with liars, cheats, thieves, and I almost said, and politicians, but they fit all of those. This is the guy, as I said early on, who has had to deal with mob-controlled businesses, who's had to deal with the dishonest business people. This is a guy who has been through it. And he knows what he's doing because he's dealt with everybody along the spectrum when it comes to whether they're telling the truth or not. And so he goes into office and he sees all of these people who are putting up a good front and looking like they're doing their jobs. But because he's a savvy businessman, a manager, someone who has worked with people for decades upon decades, he understands it's all just a front, a show. They're not really getting anything done. In fact, they're just letting things run themselves, and there are minions, thousands upon thousands of minions, who are actually running things. And the people standing in front of the cameras talking to the news on the Sunday morning shows, all of those politicians who are seeking the spotlight, they're not really doing anything. They're just standing in the spotlight, in front of the camera, at a microphone, and spouting whatever somebody else has told them the case is. And in certain cases, as in some of them are dictating policy, which has been tried and failed around the world. And then condemning the president when he points out that they're really not doing what's right for America. We have a president who's actually been there and done that in the real world. We have a president who is actually infinitely more qualified than anybody who has come up against him to do the job of being the president. And he is opposed by the Democrat, Joe Biden, who at this point is looking more and more like a victim of dementia every time he's on TV. He's looking more and more like he's losing the battle with senility every time we see him speak. And now, not just one, but seven women have stepped forward to say that he treated them pretty badly. He said, not just the one, not just Tara Reid, who has accused him publicly of sexual harassment. But now there are seven. It's just a matter of time before those around him say, you got to step aside, Joe. That may happen at the convention, if the convention happens. And if that happens, who will stand against Donald Trump? It really doesn't matter, because none of them are qualified to do the job he's doing, and none of them could wear his shoes in the next 4 to 8 years. Hey, that's it for today. God bless you. Have a great one. We'll see you back here tomorrow for the next edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.